So we are continuing to look at this summer different passages from the book of Matthew. And today you can see the verses that we're going to be looking at. But what's happening here in this passage is Jesus is going to be continuing on with his instructions to his disciples before he sends them out to preach and teach. And remember last week, if you were here, we talked about how he told them there will be persecution. And so we're going to continue on with that, those words here today. But I got a question here for you first. Who likes to be uncomfortable? Does anybody like to be uncomfortable? I got a list of things here that makes people uncomfortable. See if you can agree with any of these. When that coworker who isn't your favorite won't stop talking to you. How about any social gathering where you only know the person who invited you? Or how about when someone says to you, "We need to talk"? That makes me uncomfortable. Or how about needing to adjust your underwear in public? That not only makes you uncomfortable, it makes everybody else uncomfortable. Or how about when you're around a bunch of people and someone has BO, and you're worried that the other people are going to think it's you? How about that one? Or how about when people sing happy birthday to you? Does anybody else feel uncomfortable when that happens? You just don't know what to do you? Especially when they're singing it very poorly. How about opening gifts in front of people? Does anybody enjoy doing that? Okay. When people look at you and don't say anything, can make you uncomfortable. How about saying goodbye to other people's friends when you just met, if you're at some gathering? Watching someone try to be funny and failing, does that make you feel a little uncomfortable? How about a close talker? Any Seinfeld fans out there? Somebody that just stands too close to you when they talk makes you uncomfortable. Or finally, how about this one? When someone wants to point out something on one of your devices, whether your phone, your computer, your iPad, whatever, and they have greasy, dirty fingers. How about that one? But I would venture a guess that nobody likes to be uncomfortable in these kinds of situations. And the reason I'm bringing this up today, because this passage that I'm going to be reading really made me uncomfortable, and I think it makes a lot of people uncomfortable with some of the things that Jesus says. And so as we're going through this passage here, there's three words that I want you to really focus on and remember from this passage as we go through it. So let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. Really, Jesus? These are the words of Jesus, by the way. Those are some uncomfortable words, aren't they? There's some tough words to hear from Jesus. So the first word to focus on here is sword. Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus did not come to bring peace? Really? You remember on the night of Jesus' birth, the angels sang, you know, the song to the shepherds, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Didn't they say that? Yes, they did. And doesn't the Old Testament prophecy say that the Messiah that is going to come to save everyone would be called the what? The Prince of Peace, of course. So what's going on here? Which is it, Jesus? You ever wondered that about these words of Jesus? And here's what it boils down to. It depends on what kind of peace we are talking about. If we're talking about an earthly peace where everything is peaches and cream, everything is just hunky-dory all the time, that's not the kind of peace Jesus is talking about. It's not the earthly peace at all, what he's talking about. So later on in Jesus' ministry, on the night of the Last Supper, the night he was going to be arrested, in that upper room, Jesus said these things to his disciples. And again, it sounds like Jesus is contradicting himself. He said he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And this is what he says to his disciples the night he's arrested. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And then he said, and I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, a lot of times when we hear the word peace, we think of peace here on earth. It doesn't mean that we'll never experience peace on earth, but this isn't the kind of peace Jesus is talking about here. Remember last week when he told his disciples that when they're out and about, which is he's telling us too, is that not if you are persecuted, but when you are persecuted. And now he's telling his disciples, in this world you will have tribulation. See, the peace that Jesus is talking about and the peace that Jesus is bringing to us is the peace that you and I now have with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You see, before, there was this huge chasm. You can picture two mountains on either end of the stage. And there's this big Grand Canyon in between. Here's us on one mountain, God's on the other mountain. We did not have peace with God because God hates sin. He despises it. And he has to punish it. Which is why Jesus came. And because Jesus came and took the wrath of God on that cross, you and I now have peace with God. And this is way more important than any earthly peace could ever give us. We are now reconciled to God. We are at peace with God because of Jesus' death on the cross. And that's true peace. And so again, in these verses, Jesus brings up families again. Remember last week he brought up families too. And he's doing it again. Jesus wants us to know that following him may cause divisions in our families. Like a sword that cuts through something. The fact that we follow Jesus may cause division. The fact of the matter is, because of some people's stubbornness and unwillingness to receive that free gift of salvation that Jesus has already won for them, is going to cause division with us who follow Jesus. Some people just refuse to take that free gift that's already there for them. And Jesus tells us that that is going to cause division, even if in our family. And so he's telling his disciples and he's telling us, as his disciples, we must love Jesus more than an unbelieving family member. That's why Jesus says, you know, mother will be against their daughter, father against son, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's an interesting one that Jesus threw in there. But it's going to cause division. That's why it's so important for us all to be families that center our lives around Jesus instead of the other way around. And let's be honest for a second here about this. How tough is that to center our lives around Jesus, if we're being honest? So I'll just tell you about myself. It was easier to center our lives around Jesus when it was just Zara and I. And then it was still pretty easy when our kids were little. But as our four girls grew up, got more involved, and basketball entered our lives, and softball, and other things involving with school, centering our lives around Jesus became a little bit more tough. And it was a lot easier to center Jesus around our lives. Anybody else identify with that? Because before we knew it, we were like, okay, you know, if she doesn't play in this basketball game that's on Sunday morning, she's not going to get a play on the team during the season. So it's just this one time. We can do that. We can miss church that Sunday. But before you know it, that slippery slope becomes more and more becomes about the things of this world. And we all are centering Jesus to fit into our lives. And it's tough. And when we let these other things in this world take precedent in our life, we shove Jesus down further and further on our priority list, because all these earthly things are important. And I'm not saying they're not, because trust me, we've had those same challenges as a family. But it can be easy to push Jesus further and further down that list. And so that's why it's so important for all of us families, and not just families. When I say family, by the way, I'm talking about everybody. Not just families with kids. It's extremely more important for us that have kids to take time to pray together. Even if you're a single person living in your house, you can pray. Take time to pray. It's so important for us to read the Bible with our kids and with our grandkids. The Bible's very clear about that, by the way. It's our jobs to do that with our children. And then those children get to do it with their children. But if we stop because we're too busy with life, the whole system goes haywire. It's why it's so important for us to take time to do those things with our families. To remind us all that Jesus is to be the center of our lives and to be at the top of our priority list. Even when it's not easy to put him at the top. And it will cause division. It may cause division within sports teams because you've chosen Jesus over that. But that's what we are called to do as his disciples, and that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. It's going to be tough. It's going to cause division. So let's move on to the next verse here, verse 38. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So word number two is obviously cross. The sword, and now the cross. As followers of Jesus, we are to take up our cross and follow him. What does that mean? That means no matter what happens, we continue to follow him. With the tribulations and the trials and everything that we have to go through on this earth, which Jesus told us we would have to. And the cross of Jesus not only includes the cross that he suffered and died on, but also how Jesus lived his entire life and service and humiliation. Look at these words from Philippians chapter 2, where it says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And this is now explaining what Jesus did for us. And we are being told to have the same mind among us. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. This is the Son of God who humiliated himself by becoming a human. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so you and I, we strive to do this, right? We strive to be like Jesus. We strive again and again to pick up our cross and follow. But how many of you ever struggle with dropping your cross? I know I do. Because I want to drop the cross and pick up some worldly thing for a little bit. And what we fail to do, Jesus did for us. And this takes us right back to why Jesus came in the first place. Because we can't carry our cross and follow him without screwing it up. And he came and took the cross all the way to Mount Calvary. Which leads us here to our last verse. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The third word here to remember is life. And again, this ties into the second word, cross. When we make our lives all about our life here on earth, that's a problem. Because as I said before, we're pushing Jesus down, we're pushing Jesus out because of our lives here on this earth. And that's what he's saying here. Whoever finds his life will lose it. But again, this word life has so much more meaning to it than anything our earthly life. Because Jesus died on that cross to give us eternal life. And because he did that for us, you and I will be living in heaven forever with Jesus. And we will join all of our loved ones who are already there, right? Experiencing that eternal life, we will be there with them. Because this eternal life is way more important than our earthly lives. And you know what? This is the hope and the peace that we have. We have this hope and peace because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We know, we don't have to guess, we know we will be in heaven with him one day because of what he did for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.